go. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Perfect. I just got the new iPhone 7. I was like, oh, I need to plug in my phone. Oh, wait, my headphones are in the gosh darn jack. No.
Did you see the thing online where it was like a joke video showing how to do
the jack? Yeah, it was hilarious.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, there we go. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Perfect.
Yeah, hi, guys. It's Karen.
Hi, Karen.
Hi.
I was all excited when I saw that video at first. I was like, ooh, we can get a headphone jack. Oh, man. So
but I guess people are actually doing it.
That's just awesome.
Crazy.
Hey, who else joined?
Hey, guys. It's Arion.
Hi, Arion.
Hey.
So Scott said he's going to be a little bit late today because apparently launch all hell breaking loose. Yeah, you guys know the drill.
Yeah, he CC'd me on that too. I think to let me know since I was in a hot seat. I know where to find you.
Running around with a chicken bag. Get out of the sand. Go have fun. All right, and Brian's in New York, but I'm pretty sure he said he was going to... here. All right, and I'm on speakerphone, guys, so if it's annoying and you can't hear me very well because I'm charging my phone, let me know because, yeah, apparently this is the most annoying iPhone feature ever.
It is kind of low.
Silly. It's so silly. It doesn't make any sense. And I tried finding splitters, and I couldn't find, like, they don't really sell any. I'm like, how does somebody, this is a great problem for an entrepreneur to solve, though, by the way. Everybody's having
problems
all at the same time.
They want you to buy those $150 pods.
Which is, so I bought a set of Bluetooth headphones, not theirs, of course.
Yeah.
But I don't want, like, Bluetooth's annoying, and you have to charge them. You know what I mean? Ugh, anyway.
Yeah.
It is, yep.
So is it you can't charge while you're – what's the issue?
So there is no headphone jack, so they give you a pair of wired headphones with the lightning cable.
Okay.
So if I were to – so I had my headphones in, and I was like, oh, shoot, my phone is dying.
So you can't charge and have the headphones in. Gotcha.
Right.
So silly.
That is silly.
All right. So we're going to dive in anyway, just because I know it's 3 minutes past, and I'm going to text everybody. I know Brian's in New York, but I think he's flying back today. And I know Monica, I think she should be for two. All right. So we're going to make you go first. Karen, what are your wins and accountability for the week?
Okay, so wins, which probably aren't going to sound like much to most. Jamie, you'll get this. Like, last week was the first week in so long, I felt like I was in ease and flow in my business, and I actually had so much fun. Like, it was so good. Like, not all these crazy thoughts and questions running all the time.
Hey, Jamie.
So I just felt so good and so comfortable. And I hired a cleaning lady last week. That was their first week. So that was huge. Yeah, so that from that standpoint, that went really, really well. Accountability, I had 2 out of 3. My in-laws were here all week, so I felt like I did pretty good, but I didn't get my third action item done. But they're back to Florida now, and this week's going to be a really good week.
I love hearing that. And I love – so Karen's goals right now are all about ease and flow. I don't care how many action items you get done. I just want you to be happy in the pursuing of those. Having that community is definitely one of those things. Congratulations. I love – this best update ever.
Yep.
I know.
Sure is.
All that fun
sure
stuff,
is.
But seriously, best update ever. All right. Arion, you're up next. What are your wins and accountability for the week?
So it was a pretty good week. On accountability, 5 for 5. One of the biggest wins was I had a call with a new client that came off of BiggerPockets, And from hello to, yeah, send me the paperwork, it was like 16 minutes. It was almost like I was bothering the guy. Like, yeah, yeah, I know. Yeah, send me the paperwork, right? So that was awesome. I did a mini content creation day. So I wrote some more content there. So that was good. It's overall a really good week.
Congratulations. That's why we're doubling down on the bigger pocket stuff. So it's so you're still on track for being one of their featured people?
Yeah, I should have another post this week. So it'd be 2 weeks in a row. I think it's like 3 weeks in a row to get that. And then I got a direct line into their communications now after FinCon, so it should be easy to do that.
Killer. Yay, success. I love hearing that. Okay, so Brian, I have you up next. What are your wins and accountability?
So my wins are, I just got back from New York yesterday, was there, left Thursday morning early and was there for 3 days. So conversation went great. I had a part in a fitness adventure convention where it was about 20, 25 people there for me. So it was a good audience for me. So I should have about 5 or 6, maybe more conversations with people out of that event. That was a big win for me. One of the areas I'm having a challenge with right now is since we have no sales pages converting right now on opt-in, all of my money outside of my normal one-on-one clients is coming from creating conversations off of Facebook, and I'm really getting bored and really getting tired of that. So I get to start doing some adjusting this week, and I think I'm going to put out a new challenge to create some opportunities of people reaching out to me. I feel like I'm using a lot of time going the other way, so I get to make some shifts this week.
Awesome. Let me know how that goes, too, because I know we had a whole session with Kurt beforehand on what that looks like. So if you need my help, you know where to find me.
Okay.
Awesome. Monica, you're up next. What are your wins and accountability for the week?
Thank you. Sorry, you guys, I was on, and then I got kicked off, by the way, after I texted you, Jamie. It just, like, totally kicked me off. So anyway, I'm back. So I think I forgot to post my active actions last week. But I don't think I saw the post anyway. I think it was delayed. But at any rate, we had some huge wins. I'd say the biggest is that my brain is continuing to just be back. And I got in the pitching game and pitched about 55,000 last week. So trying to close up some of that. I also had a cold lead come through LinkedIn. So even the little tiny bit that we're doing on LinkedIn is working. It was a CEO of an energy company called me. And so he's definitely like even an ideal client, right? So that is terrific. We'll see if we can move the dial on that. And I also talked to my mentor, and I was really getting stressed out about my goal, my money goal for the year, and said, I don't know what to do here. And I don't know how to reconcile this. I need some windfalls. And so obviously I need to create those windfalls, which I'm doing or attempting to do. But the suggestion was, either take 90 days because you were basically out for 90 days prior to and after with all these pre- and post-delivery complications. Either take 90 days off the revenue that was expected for the year or put an extra 90 days on the goal. So I've decided to put an extra 90 days on the goal so I'm not just sitting. Jamie, one time you said don't be stressed out, like lower your goals or lower your active actions so you're not constantly like, well, I'm not hitting all my active actions because I have 100 things on my list, right? Just from a mindset perspective, it was really brilliant. Whatever you said, it was more articulate than that. But so I'm going to extend it 90 days because you're brilliant. So I'm going to extend it 90 days. And then so that's that. I honestly, you guys, I'm sorry. I failed on the active actions last week. I did a lot of stuff. I don't think I posted it in the Facebook. So those are my wins. And I did post my active actions this week. So,
yeah, it's funny how, I mean, you guys know this in general, we're huge achievers and goal setters. And when we start going all in and being like, this is amazing, it can be demotivating to not see the progress. And when it's demotivating, it just makes you want to hide in a corner. And you're like, well, I can't do this. This sucks. Right? That's what we want to avoid.
So
I love that your mentor said, I would say the exact same thing. Like, let's figure out a way to make this go, you know what, that's totally achievable. And, yeah, I have to go in a little bit harder than normal, but not like oh my gosh, I'm going to never hit this in a million years and just bang my head against the wall. That is not good for anybody. So unless you're one of those people that just want huge things, but, and aren't upset when you aren't close, but you guys are high achievers and usually you stay. And unless, those are close, we get demotivated pretty quickly. All right. So Scott,
yes.
He said he might, pop on a little later, but he's dealing with a whole bunch of craziness. So Lane, give us your wins and accountability first and then move into the hot seat. And of course, Lane posted in the Facebook group, by the way. So if you haven't checked it out, go check it out now.
All right. So I had three items. I did two of the three. The one I did not do was the fire sale from my previous business because I'm really having trouble wrapping my brain around what it should look like. And what I've decided is that I have been trying to find the perfect way to do it, and I need to just do it and get it done. So I'm going to stop looking for the right way and just do it this week. So I'm committing. It'll be done.
It'll be done. What? Okay. You like singing, though. I have to think of something better. Okay.
Well, I can't sing, but I don't mind singing. It's more of a punishment for you guys.
So I'm coming up with something else.
So you have to find something. Like, I can't talk the whole call next week. That would be really painful.
That would be bad for you. Oh, my God. That's funny. That's kind of true.
We'll be getting like 1,000 Facebook messages from Lane during that time if she doesn't do it then.
I know.
I can message everybody.
Yeah, Karen, tell her I said blah, blah, blah. We'll think of a good one. I'll just get it done. I will get it done.
I'm going to.
All right.
Because I'm going to come up with something that you can't get around, Miss Problem Solver. So go ahead.
I know. Ugh. So my big win was that I have discovered that it's very difficult for me to set boundaries, and then I'll get to a point where I feel like I'm being taken advantage of or I'm backed into a corner, and then I get angry. And so it came to a head in a particular situation, and afterwards I was like, you know what? I just have to say no more. Because with clients, I just hate saying no. I hate it. For a number of reasons, but I actually, the same client came back to me and said, can you do this, this, and this, and I said, no on the weekend, which is rare for me. So that was a big win and something I'm going to be practicing, but it felt really good. So that was my win.
Yay! It's funny how much that's a huge, I mean, me, I know what you're talking about, Lane, and, you know, that's it's so funny how, we talk about tactics and stuff like that, but as Brian knows and talks about this all the time, it really is about your brain. And us as entrepreneurs are constantly trying to be smarter than our own brain and our own physiology, which is a pain in the butt. But go you for moving forward and doing it anyway. So how can we help you?
So Patsy, what I have been working on in my business is I do a lot of strategy, and then I also help with the implementation side of things. And Jamie, you and I have talked about how that's a rare combination. But what happens that I've discovered is a lot of times people want to pay me implementation rates, but get the strategy also. So I don't know how to package it or how to present it so I'm getting paid my true value. And so that's one part. And the other part is I don't feel like there's anybody that I can compare what I do with. Because people might be copywriters, but they'll do just the sales page, or they'll do a 7-email funnel or something like that, but they don't get into the strategy side of things, like why are you writing this? Is it aimed at the right audience? That kind of thing. So I don't know how to price it, and I don't want to price myself out of business because I need – so what tends to happen is I'll price myself low because I need the work and I need the revenue. So any thoughts on that? And then the hiring part is the second part, but that's, I think, less important. It's important, but for the purpose of this conversation, I'd be more interested in the value setting and the pricing discussion.
So I'm going to let everybody dive in. I know because Monica has a bazillion things, but Rachel does something very similar. And just to do a two-cent thing before everybody else gives their thoughts, she doesn't sell the implementation without the strategy. There's just that you either only implement the strategy that you do or you sell the strategy. by itself, but that's sort of Rachel's model. So she's very similar. She actually does, she has a team, a small team of three people, but mm-hmm. does both, just so you know, so you have someone to look at too. But I'm not everybody else out. Yeah. I'm also chomping at the bit.
Jamie, do you think she'd be open to a conversation with me?
She's going through lots of craziness at the moment, so I could totally ask. It just might be put off for a while.
Yeah, that's fine. I was just curious if she might be open to that. That would be great. Cool. Thank you.
Well, this is Monica. I was going to say, Lane, the first thing that came to mind, and then Jamie kind of already started to open up that door, was how do they know they get to choose? Like, if we could figure out how the if I could hear how the conversation was literally going, we might be able to just pivot and fix it right away.
That's a good question. So I think maybe it's that they are referred to me by somebody who says, oh, Lane's a copywriter, instead of positioning, because I really want to be positioned as a consultant expert, not as an assistant. And so I think it would help if I had language around what I do, which has been this ongoing challenge of how I present what I do. Because when people say, oh, she's a copywriter, that doesn't sit right with me, because I don't think that's what I am. But I don't know what to say that I am, if that makes sense. So it's as good a label as any, but then they expect to pay me $50 an hour versus a consultant.
But why do they expect to pay you $50 an hour? How do they even get down to the
hour? That's just an example.
Okay.
Like, I mean, I'm not saying it's $50 an hour, but the expectation is set differently than if Lane's a consultant or, you know, I don't know. I don't know. That's a good question.
Okay. It's helpful if we know that they're coming from referrals and the referee has already set the stage, right? There's a way to pivot that right in the beginning. We just nip it in the bud, you know? That's what I do, because my clients come, well, from a variety of different scenarios, right? But I think that if you go back to that, you don't call yourself a copywriter. I mean, some people still think that I'm a copywriter.
Yeah.
You know, it's just one of the skill sets that I have, really strong skill sets, but it isn't everything. If we go back to those, you know, I don't know what it is. This is not it totally, but, you know, I create influence in the marketplace for a client. That's what I do, and I do it in a lot of different ways. So we really just need to look at what you've got going on. Well, I really just needed the help on this sales page. Okay, that's cool. We can talk about that too. Do you know what I mean? Like, at least setting the stage.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then opening up the door to allow you to investigate and answer more questions so that you can get the gig that you really want versus what they think that they're coming to you for. Because the truth is, I'm sure this is the case for you. When somebody just has me look at a sales page and nothing else, like, I can't even perform as high for them as if I wasn't able to look at everything. Or us at
right.
least have a discussion about everything. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes you can fix things right away. But what are you actually going in for? Like, what's the actual sale you want to have? What transaction?
Well, it varies. I mean, for instance, I just was hired for 6 weeks to help somebody with the launch of a new product. And so I'm helping him determine who the right partners are to help launch this, how are we communicating, how are we positioning it? How are we, what's that launch sequence look like? How are we crafting the emails to his current list? All of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's really what you want to do more of?
I mean, yeah, that's the part. I really like that, the strategy part of things. To me, the other thing I would enjoy doing is, one thing that I'm helping Scott with is looking at his overall business. Where are the leads coming from? How do we get more of those ideal leads? Which of his marketing efforts are really not performing well? What are the topics we should be writing about? You know, just putting together that marketing strategy overall for...
Yeah, it's an influence strategy or whatever. I mean, it's like, you know, working with me on my one sheet to plural, right? Well, you really need two. Yeah, but why do I need two? Well, you need two, and here's why, you know? Does that make sense? That's an overall strategic... Right. So, I don't know. You guys, I'm going to really pose this to the group so that we can solve this. But my next question for her was, does she need to start denying some just straight-up copywriting clients to get the larger strategic clients? Okay.
Yeah. I agree. Totally. Yeah.
How do I – here's the – you know, this is the catch-22, saying no when I need the income – not knowing something else is coming. So I feel like I don't know how to say this. It's like right now everything has been dependent on referrals. So how do I create a marketing? I have to position myself correctly. I have to know how to talk about what I do. I have to have a way to pull those ideal clients in to me beyond the referrals, because the referrals are great, but a lot of the referrals are, can you write this email sequence for me? Can you read my, you know, I get a lot of people who are not English first language people saying, can you just edit this because I want to make sure it's right for the American audience? And those kinds of small jobs are fine to do because they do pay. But what I hear you guys saying is I got to say no to those so I get these strategy jobs. But where are those strategy offers coming from if I haven't, where are they coming from? So maybe I feel like it's this octopus of arms that need to be addressed.
Hey, Elaine, this is Arian. This is very similar to what, you know, it's a different business, but a very similar question to what I normally face is that, because it's all about, you know, strategy versus tactics, right? And for the longest time, you know, I've been in business 12 years, right? So for the first half of that period of time, I basically sold tactics, right? So I would basically say, here's a great investment property, right? So I would sell the property until I had a conversation with my mentor, and he said, no, you sell the strategy, and then they will buy whatever tactic you tell them to do, right? So in other words, if you get buy-in on the strategy, then the implementation is already sold because you already established yourself as the authority on the strategy side. So, you know, when we're talking about like saying no to certain people, it's not a matter of, oh, you don't want strategy? Then it's no. It's more of a matter of like digging deeper into the why they want you to do something. Now, some people are going to be a straight no. If they just want you to do like odd jobs, like, hey, can you revise this for me? Like, you just have to hold yourself at a higher standard than that, right, if you want the other business, right? But ultimately, you have to, you know, go to the question behind the question, meaning like, well, what are you hoping that this sales page is going to do for you? And then bring the conversation back into a strategy track. Right, because ultimately, like, they don't want a sales page; they want some result that sales page is going to give them. Right, so you can always reposition the conversation, and that's part of the selling that happens. Right, to go back to like, hey, you know, that isn't going to be the silver bullet that you're looking for. You really have more issues here, here, and here. Right, and you got to fix that infrastructure before you implement these little things that you're thinking of.
Okay.
Does it make sense?
Okay. It does. It does. It makes a lot of sense.
So, Lane, this is Kieran. Which, Arianne, the strategy versus tactics, brilliant. I love it. Like, that was brilliantly stated, by the way. So, awesome. Lane, aren't you really doing this anyway? I mean, if someone comes to you and says, can you just write this email series for me, aren't you really bringing strategy into it anyway?
Yeah, because a lot of times I'll say, well, why are we, I can be a pain in the rear because I'm asking those questions anyway. Like, who is this intended for? How are you reaching them? What have they responded to in the past?
What are their pain points? I really dive into a lot of that before I can even start writing, which a lot of writers don't do, apparently. They just write the email and use good grammar and correct spelling and say, okay, it's done. But
so,
I always do dig deeper, yes.
Right. So is that really the strategy that you're talking about, or are you wanting to go even deeper with almost helping them plan their entire launch, like a whole launch strategy?
It could be either. A lot of times by the time they get to me, it's they're so far down the process that we can't jump in and plan the whole launch. But then it's a nice entry point, because then when I'm asking these questions, and then I'll say stuff like, well, next time, you know, it would be great if we could start planting these types of case study, you know, success stories in your blog or on your website, or sending those out beforehand so we're laying the groundwork months ahead of time. Because a lot of times people think launches, you know, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever it might be, but it's almost too late to answer some of the questions and dive in as deeply as I like to. Like, who really is your target audience with your business? And there's the audience, maybe there's audience of influencers you're trying to connect with, audience of potential partners, as well as your customer or client audience. And there's different messaging for each of those audiences. So how do we create that? How do we reach them? What are, you know, what's five pieces of content that would really resonate with them? Like, looking at it at that level, that's a much more
mm-hmm.
global level.
Mm-hmm. So that, to me, kind of answers the question that Monica asked about what does that conversation sound like. That's probably about what the conversation sounds like. You start
mm-hmm.
asking them all these questions to help them start thinking about a bigger picture.
Right.
So then that does become just your job to bring them into that strategy and let them know there is a bigger picture, and then price it accordingly. So if they're coming to you just for a simple email sequence and they're not, I guess, once you have that conversation with them, they have to realize that there is a bigger picture at play to get the type of conversion or results that they're expecting, and that they, just an email sequence in and of itself probably isn't going to get them what they're looking for, and here's
mm-hmm.
why. And then when
mm-hmm.
you have that conversation, now it justifies the pricing that you charge. I do think
mm-hmm.
some of this, and I think I've said this to you before, some of this is just you switching your own mindset on, okay, I really am this valuable. I really am just putting a line in the sand as far as what I'm going to accept for myself, what I'm willing
mm-hmm.
to do. I can promise you I did this at the beginning of the year. I totally can promise you that once you do that, that type of work will come to you, and it will
mm-hmm.
come a lot easier than you think it will, but you have to be the one that finally draws the line in the sand that this is what I'm all about.
Right.
And this is what I can help you do. And then that will attract those types of clients, because
right.
that's the message you're going to put out there. And that's the conversation that these people that are now referring you, right? If you just did a quick job for somebody, then what are they going to talk about? They're going to talk about the quick job that Lane did instead
right.
of, oh, my gosh, Lane helped me with this strategy and this, and we had these amazing results. That's what you want people talking about.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Okay.
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
So it is a little
yeah.
scary in the beginning, for sure. It's a little scary to say, okay, I'm just not going to do these, and I really need the income, but I'm just not going to do these. But at some point, I feel like you're going to have to bite the bullet to elevate your status and your messaging and the way you're perceived as a
mm-hmm.
business owner.
Right. Is that,
go ahead. No, sorry, I was just going to add to that, because that's brilliant. You know, that, you know, it is counterintuitive. It does feel like a catch-22, but in the end, like, if you need the sale more than they need to solve their problem, you're already at a disadvantage,
mm-hmm.
right? So,
right.
so it's one of those things that, you know, like, have you noticed, like, the more successful you get, the more successful you get. Right, because you don't
right.
necessarily you want the work, but you don't need the work. Like, you don't you know, you don't come across as, you know, desperate or whatever, for lack of a better term, right? Where you know, mm-hmm. if the prospect senses that, you know, you need the work, then obviously, and they feel like they could access you at a lower price point, then why wouldn't they?
Right.
Right?
Right. Yep. Okay. Yeah, and I think it's true also because if I've been doing those small email jobs for somebody, that's what they view me as. So, of course, they're not going to want to turn and pay me consultant expert rate because
exactly
they were just paying me less. So, mm-hmm. yeah, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
What in terms of that perception, what are the elements that I need to look at? Like, is it just an internal thing, like that's just the conversation I start having, or is it more like, okay, I need to redo my whole website. I'm not sure what's internal, what's external, I guess.
I think they go together. So we're talking about the overall brand, right?
This yeah, and Monica, you and I have had some great conversations
yeah.
about this.
Yeah, yeah. So it's going to be a dynamic process. Sometimes clients, like, it's really hard to just step into it, Lane, and they're like, can I baby step into it? And then once they take a couple baby steps, then you're ready for, like, the big girl step, right?
Right.
So I wouldn't spend a whole lot of time making some major changes on your site. Why? Because I'm really practical, too. You know, like, you could go make a lot of money right now with the site that you have. Just change a little bit of copy, right?
Right.
But should you be thinking about that long term? Yeah, but what's more important now, I think, is just having the sales conversations.
Yeah.
You know, you could just experiment with a few. You could say, you know what, I'm just going to turn this copywriter this copywriting job down if they won't. And Jamie may completely undo what I'm about to say because she's going to might say move in one direction, Lane. But so I would say what Jamie says trumps what I'm about to say. But you could just baby step it and experiment and just say, you know what, here's the deal, guys. And just kind of get, like, a little gangbusters about it and just say, I'm not – yes, we do copywriting. I would change the conversation from I, me, to we.
Okay.
That's the first step in being able to even talk about – I have people on my team that will help you with copy, but let's talk about why people come to me. It's the overall strategy, right? So
mm-hmm.
if you want me to just do copy, that's fine. We don't need to spend a lot of time on the phone. You know, we can do a little survey and – you know, maybe you can outsource that and make a few bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you'll take it on if you have time. Great, because there are weeks where we have more time than others.
Right.
But I think if you had the clients that you wanted, obviously we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Right.
You know, so
right.
is the conversation really about getting more of the clients that you want?
Right.
And then how do you have that conversation? I also think, you know, I've been real upfront with people every time I've changed pricing and, you know, the new person coming in. It's like, let me tell you a little about what my company does versus, sure, I'm a copywriter. How can I help you with that? And what project are you working on? No, it's like,
exactly.
I'm going to take control right now and tell you, let me tell you what we do. Let me tell you that my bench is deep. I have 20 people working for me now. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Several of those people are working full-time, not all, but I have the greatest talent. I have the most talented people on the planet because I've curated that
mm-hmm.
for a reason, right? And what
yeah.
we do is very process-based. There's a real specific outcome here. So if you can, and so then they start to have more faith in you. They start to see it's probably going to be a higher investment, but I also trust her more than just a copywriter, right? Let's talk about my experience. Let me talk about, you know, you're not going to say, like, let's talk about my experience. But you literally start to talk to them about, like, even the current projects that you're working on and reference that as you're having the sales conversation with them now. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
you know what? It reminds me of this client I've got, Scott, right now. And, you know, it wasn't that he came to the table with something that was poor or bad. It's just that he really needed it to be optimized.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that kind of reminds me of what we're talking about right now. Do you see what I mean? Like, it's just
yeah.
setting the stage for
right.
a lot higher
I have had,
sale.
Yeah, we've talked about that as well, like the name dropping, but not just as a point of reference for them, not as anything other than this is the level of people I work with.
Yeah. So I feel like we need to be fixing the, how do we get Lane more of her ideal client, you know? And I know what it's like around the corner because it sucks. I always feel like I'm rounding the corner. And then I'm reminded, Monica, you've already rounded that corner. You're just onto the new corner, and you forgot that you already rounded that one, right? Mm-hmm. can really mind up things. Jamie knows that about me. But we need to get you some more of your ideal clients. And then, yes, there will be changes to the copy, but I think you can go get those copywriting clients right now and turn them into your ideal client if they just knew.
Yeah.
Not all of them, but some of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to add something to what Monica was saying, too, because what we're talking about right now are referrals, right? So people, so it's not as though you're, like, pushing it out there and going, oh, come to me with everything. That's not sort of what you're going about, but because you are so well-versed in many things, friends of yours are like, oh, Lane can do that. Oh, Lane can do that.
Mm-hmm.
So also get very clear with the people that are referring you. Because we have a tendency, we love referrals in general, right? Just send them my way.
Right.
But the thing is that we want the people that are doing referrals to talk about it correctly, right?
Yeah.
It's not just like, oh, Lane can do your copywriting and write those emails. Great, right? People, you might not want those referrals and how those people are talking about them. You know what I mean? So while I think it's amazing to hop on the phone no matter what with people and sort of flush that out, I would actually chat with some of the people that are giving you the referrals and be like, hey, just so you guys know, I love getting this type of referral from you. And if you could sort of set the stage a little bit better for me, because I know I do a ridiculous number of referrals and we want to make sure it's a win-win for everybody, right? That's the whole point of referrals.
Mm-hmm.
And so when clients come to me, they want the best value humanly possible, right? And the best results. Yay, how do we do this? Jamie, you know all the secret sauce people that aren't going to charge you, you know, $30,000, but can actually deliver results. So when referrals worry about price, that's not necessarily good either, because either they're trying to sell you as like, oh, she's really inexpensive right now. She's still like, you know, fleshing out her business idea. You know what I mean?
Right.
Make sure that people are really speaking to the nth degree on how this works. Because you're there now, by the way, like everybody's saying. Like, you were figuring it out before, but now you know. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So we need to get really, really clear on what that is that you want to be doing, like everyone was saying. Okay? Really clear on the types of clients you want. That doesn't mean, you know, don't take on referrals, because I suggest actually reaching out to the people that are already doing referrals for you, maybe sending them thank you gifts or something. They'd be like, oh, my gosh, you're amazing. Thank you so much for sending referrals. Just so you know, I'm refining my process. I do strategy, number one. And once I do strategy, we do implementation of that also. Right.
Uh-huh.
So we're really getting clear and going, okay, this is what it is. This is what this is how you can talk about me a little bit better.
Okay.
But I'd also send them a gift, because if you have to, like, sort of retrain them, do it so because we, of course, still want the referrals. But ideally, we want them for the right ones, too. So, like, and BNI, when people stand up and they're like, oh, I need a referral for this, it's like, well, they're asking very specifically how to get the referral and what to say in order to achieve that. So I would refine both the referral process that you're currently using, because those people might actually know people that are 10 times better than the people that are coming to you. Right now, it's just
right
now, it's sort of off the top of the head. Oh, I know a copywriter. Oh, I know whatever. But that's what people come as, right? Oh, shoot, I need a copywriter. Great. Well, where am I going to find a copywriter? Well, they're good enough. I might as well use them. But you do so much more than that. So I also agree with the setup in terms of what that looks like. So what I would do if I were you is flesh out your sales process a little bit. If it comes from a referral, what emails do I send them to set something up, to set the stage?
Mm-hmm.
Educate them a little bit more in advance as far as what you do. So that way they know what to expect, because we want them to opt out. Just like with the area and sales process and stuff like that too. I'm like, do not hop on the phone with anybody. No, you know, we need to hop on the phone with the right people. We need to make sure we're saving time at the moment. And for you, because it wasn't about the time savings, it was about coming up with the income, it didn't matter as much. So I still, yes, we want to hop on the phone with them, but if they're completely unqualified and you're only going to make a couple hundred bucks or $1,000 from them, it is definitely not worth your time. It is way more worth mm-hmm. your time prospecting for the right people, like this 10 grand person, where you're like, you know what? Boom, done. I get a couple of those.
Right.
I would also, looking forward, figure out the recurring revenue side, which is what we were talking about before. So you don't have to worry so much about, I need income, this is closing, I need income, I don't know
what
yeah. I'm doing. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yep, it does. Thanks. Taking lots of notes.
And Lane?
Yes.
I wanted to point out something that Monica said that was awesome. So, like, this ability of, like, working stories into your pitch,
mm-hmm.
right, as a way to pivot the conversation to where you want it to go, right? So, like, as an example for me, like, I can't tell you, like, on every call that I get, right, you know, that it's cold, people say, well, can't you just send me some properties? Like, I hear that literally every week, right? And you're trying to flip the conversation more on a strategy. But normally what I do is I say, well, properties for what? Right? In other words, like, what is the goal that we're trying to reach here? And then once you start talking about what the goal is and the resources and everything else, then you're in strategy land anyway.
Yeah.
Right? So when somebody says, hey, I need this sales page done, then you're like, well, you know, there's really no way to do the sales page right unless I know what it is that we're trying to accomplish. So there's a lot of pieces that play together,
mm-hmm.
right? And then you tell a story about a client that you helped, and you say, hey, so-and-so also came to me with that question, and then what we found out was that really the problem wasn't the sales page, but it was over here.
Right.
Does it make sense?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. Exactly. It's like, okay, why do you want these properties? What are you trying, you know, and not in a nasty way at all, but just
so,
like,
yeah,
help me understand what you're looking for. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I can help you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Yep, makes a lot of sense. Thank you. How do I know at this new, whether I'm helping, because I can see two parts here, helping people with plan their launches and then execute the launch. And then also this more infrastructure-based, really looking at the business overall, like, Aaron, what I did with you is, okay, here's what you have going on now. Here's where I see you could make some changes that would benefit your business immediately, et cetera, et cetera. That's more of a – it's not time-sensitive because it's not like you're trying to launch a product in 6 weeks. So those two
right.
elements, I think, could work really well together. How do I even know what to charge for that?
Well, I have kind of a backwards approach, which I don't know if it's the way to do things. But this I learned from my very first mentor. And he said, look, I know your revenue goal is 30 grand a month or whatever, Monica. That took me a long time to be ever able to get something like that to happen. It still hasn't happened consistently, guys. But anyway, for my business, not for my clients, but he said, you know, you can't go out there and effectively sell something if you don't believe that you can sell it at that. What you can do is rapidly increase your prices, and you have total control over that. So what you
mm-hmm.
sell at one price one time doesn't have to be what you sell it at the next time.
Right,
you know?
Okay.
So if you're like, I can't sell my services at $1,000 an hour. Like, Jamie's just, she can nail $1,000 an hour. She's like, I'm going to sell $5,000 an hour right now. You know, like, the value would be worth it, right? But if you can't do that yet, then, like, what can we sell it at, and what can we
okay.
talk about the value being, knowing that you're not tied into that forever, you know? You're just not. So,
right.
And I have one more thing that I wanted to share when I was making a pivotal change. I just remembered this, Lane, because, like, I needed to know something tactical. Like, I'm trying to round this corner, and they're coming to me for coffee, and I can't turn them down, so how do I set up boundaries? And what I ended up doing was I wouldn't get on the phone with these people. Okay, you guys still know I'm not great at this, because I get weekly emails on, could you look at this? They want my copywriting, but they really want, like, most people that know me and know my performance and what I can do, they really want my brain, right? How can I do this? Anyway, so what I started pitching these copywriting people on was, I won't even get on the phone with them and discuss the project, period. It's here it is, and I work in a one-half-hour call, like strategic call, that allows me to sell more, right, and get the debrief on the project itself. Like, I'm not even going to get on the phone with you to talk about a copywriting job unless you understand that there's strategy that's involved in that. Does that make sense? I might be able to pull up an old email. I don't remember. But I might be able to pull up, like, an old email that I actually sent to somebody. And what I did, essentially, the end game was that I had restrictions, that she just couldn't call me endlessly and ask for launch advice, right? If you want that, then we got to talk about a different deal, period. But they know me, and they know that I'm going to go in there and fix things for them, right? So that's how I did that. And I'll go back and look. I might not be able to do it today. I might have to do it tomorrow, but I'm usually pretty good about saving things. I might even be able to find an actual email.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, because then it was like, if you need more, then you can just pay for a session, right? And it just helped me just kind of just barely round that corner, but also set up some boundaries and protect myself from the endless phone calls. Not great
right.
at this yet, but it did help, and it worked in those situations. They knew. This is all I get of her.
Okay. Yeah.
Quick note on that, and I can't remember who told me that this past week, and maybe it was one of you, so stop me if we've already heard this before. Somebody said when we're building out, like, the proposal side, right, and you're really trying to get clear on what they pay for versus what they don't, he was like because he does the same type of business, right, the implementation side, and it always goes over. Like, everybody always asks for more and more and more or something at the end or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So he puts the line item already in there of like 3 hours of recap or 3 hours of whatever. Right? And what he does is genius. I can't remember. Maybe this is Peter. I don't remember. What he does is that's on the proposal. And they're like, oh, most of the time people bring it up and be like, oh, I don't need that. Like, oh, okay. If you don't need that, I'll take it off. No big deal. So they take it off on purpose, like have it crossed out. This is, you're not being charged for this. But then they know the value of the extra piece. So when it comes to it at the end and they're like, oh, but I needed you to do this and can we hop on a call? You go, oh, so that was the piece that you crossed out. Do you want me to add that back in? And I'm like,
that's awesome. This totally sounds like Peter. This has to be Peter.
I think it must have been him. We weren't talking about this recently, but yeah, it, like, genius, right? So you're preempting and showing your value in advance. And, of course, taking it off so you're, like, totally cool and, like, I totally understand. If you don't need it, you don't need it. You're a smart person. Ha ha. Right? And then following it up, like, it was just genius, so.
What was that piece called? Like, what is it? Light item. How's
it
described?
Post-mortem. It was something. I don't remember. It was – the whole point of it was sort of a reassessment of the strategy, right? It's pretty much going, what is it always called? Of course I'm forgetting. It's the creep, scope creep, right?
Okay. Yeah.
So it's pretty much, I think they labeled it something like reassessment or like strategy reassessment. So it's going, okay, in advance, we're going to agree on a strategy. And I am guaranteed to deliver that strategy, right? That's the whole point. Like, this is the end result. If you're planning on changing that strategy, that's or redoing or getting extra or anything like that, that's where it goes in.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, even if you decided to give that to them for free later on, right? So, hey, we have this line item. You know what? This launch is not totally performing like I had expected it to. You know what? I'm going to give you those extra 3 hours that I normally charge for just so you're 110% happy on this, right?
Right.
So then they
right.
The
and then it puts the value on that bonus. Yeah. Right. Okay.
Yep. And then they're like, oh, Lane, we love you. Right. That's what we want.
Right. Okay.
I want to make sure we get to the higher question too, because I know we only have 10 minutes. Do you feel like you got what you needed for the pricing side for now?
Yeah, I think what Monica said is, you know, it's an iterative process where I'm going to make some steps
now and make some changes now, and then I'm going to be coming back to it again, I'm sure. But for I feel like I've got a good direction to go in right now, which is great. So thank you all for that.
So let's talk about your assistant, because part of the whole pricing and doing better on this is so you're not doing all the work. So how do we help you on that?
So I had done, you know, drew up this very specific plan and tagged a bunch of people, emailed a bunch of people in locally here in Scottsdale, Phoenix, said, do you know anybody, Jamie, what you and I had talked about, like a mom whose kids just went back to school or a college student who's looking, you know, super sharp, looking for some extra income, got zero applicants. One thing that Ariane had suggested in the Facebook group is to post it on Craigslist. So I'm going to try that. I mean, it can't hurt. I'm not having them call me, so they're just filling out a form. So even if I get a bunch of cruddy responses, it's not time that I'm paying for. So.
And Indeed as well.
What was the other one?
Indeed.
Indeed. Okay. I'm not familiar with that one.
Yep. Cool. A lot of my friends use that one also as the best, most qualified.
Oh, cool.
Brazilian. I would also try and do hiremymom.com, but try and just do the local side.
Yep. Okay. I was avoiding that one just because you have to pay
totally
to list the position.
Yeah,
okay.
If you can find the right people. The other option is talk to people at schools, right? For like with
pre-kids,
yes. Post stuff on.
Yep.
We tried church groups. We tried a whole bunch of stuff trying to find people here locally in Austin. It's kind of a pain in the butt, though. And the one of the many approach was easier, just so you know. So I recently tried the I want to stay at home mom, and it was difficult. So that's why Hire Your Mom is probably worth it, because they
okay.
use over 12 bucks too.
Okay. Cool. I'll do that. Awesome. I think that gives me direction there too.
Is that all you need for that?
You guys fixed me.
Okay. So quick question though too on, I love hiring people that other people know. So I would actually, instead of just a post also, I would reach out to who you think is sort of like the network to all heck person in your area.
Okay.
Maybe in a mom's group, maybe in a, you know what I mean? Like, and actually, hey, can you think of anybody? I would love to reach out to them.
And
do that specifically also.
All right. That sounds good. I can do that. I've got a couple people in mind already.
Perfect.
Alrighty.
So I want to recap from you because we have a couple minutes left. I want sort of the download recap and actually, you know what? Instead of that, do you want to talk about your fire sale or do you already know what to do on that?
I think I'm just going to do something similar to what I'd done in the past and just get it done. I've been looking for this great strategy and the right, like I said, the quote unquote right strategy, and instead I just need to do it. So I think I'm good on that because I've done something similar in the past. So I'll just figure out something and go.
All right.
So the recap is probably good though.
Okay, yes, do a recap. I think. Make sure.
So number one is to draw that line in the sand for me mentally, just that I'm not going to be taking on anything that's under X or is that only, that's only editing or copywriting, like these small jobs. Unless I can be involved on the strategy side, then I just say no. So that's the first thing. And Karen totally promised that if I do that, the positions will come. So.
No pressure.
No pressure at all. So that's the first thing. Two is to define my sales conversation better. How I talk about what I do and have a even if it's just a bullet list or something of the questions I ask or the things that I cover in that initial conversation, that I take control of that conversation. And if they start talking just about copy, take that into the deeper strategy. Like we're saying, like my client so-and-so was in a similar situation. He found that, you know, the copy was definitely part of it, but what really laid, you know, the answer laid in having a deeper conversation about his overall marketing strategy or whatever it might be, but bringing it into that bigger conversation. And if they keep focusing on the copy, that it's just not either, you know, that idea of, you know what, maybe I can refer you to somebody who can handle that or that kind of thing versus that's what I do. So stop saying, yes, I do that to everything somebody asks me. And then also figuring out what the pieces are that I feel like I'm really good at and that I enjoy doing the most. So I'm going to spend some time thinking about that. And then the referrals, helping educate people who are referring other people how to talk about what I do, and even, you know, sending them a thank you along with, you know, hey, I just also want to tell you I'm really honing in on the types of projects I'm working on. So if you know anybody who fits this description, that because I'm focusing on the strategy side, yada, 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 but helping educate them so they can refer the proper people to me, and then look for ways to filter out people. So if somebody emails me and says, oh, so-and-so says you can do the affiliate emails for my upcoming launch, I say, well, no, I do that as part of a larger launch strategy package. So is that something you'd be interested in? And if they say no, then don't even get on the phone with them. What else?
That's a great freaking recap. Now, just a note, because I know you well, Lane, and we've talked about this before too. The point which you have to say no to people more, if you are in person with them, because I remember when we were talking about the ghostwriting,
yeah.
So one thing that's easier, especially if you don't have like a resource you can refer them to, just say, oh, let me check and I'll see if I can find the perfect person for you. Or let me check and we'll see if I can do this and I'll follow up with you. Because
right.
Yes or no in the moment, especially for somebody who loves people pleasing, is difficult. So it
yeah.
actually gives you a point of being able to follow up with them anyway. So it's not as though you're saying
right.
no, you're saying I can help you with that. It just might not be me.
Right. Yep. Cool. I like that.
Help with those resources and stuff. Let me know.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, I like that. Because, yeah, I feel like I do get put on the spot, and I don't like to say no to people. And I get that deer in the headlights. And the default is, yeah, I can do that because I can.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm in the position where what do I want to do and what can I really get paid a premium to do?
Yay. Remember back in January when we didn't know any of this stuff? It's way better now.
Yes.
So.
I'm like, somebody just hire me to walk your dog, please.
Yeah, we've come a long way.
Yeah. Oh, completely.
Please pat yourself on the back for that, though, too. I mean, I know we talked about it in the interview that we did, but, yeah, you've come a very long way, and we're refining right now, and it's only going to get better for
yes.
you.
That's how I feel. I mean, I feel a lot more peaceful about it.
Yay, peace. Who knew entrepreneurs could have peace? This is what we're talking about, too. What a surprise. Oh, my gosh. Did you get what you wanted, though, out of this thing?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Thank you.
Yay.
You guys are awesome.
So, Karen, you are in the hot seat next week. Just to let everybody know, Joshua Lee will be hosting next Monday, which will actually work out perfect for you, Karen, because he's very much into the balance and the and that sort of stuff and making it easier.
Oh, good.
Definitely. I'm going to be flying to Bangkok at the time of our I can't do it. But if you guys need anything, of course, make sure you reach out to me. I'm just going to be in such a time zone difference next week. Of course, I'll respond when I can. But if you guys need anything at all, definitely let me know in advance. And Karen, if you don't mind giving us sort of your down low beforehand, so I can send it to Josh, so he can actually think about it in advance.
Okay.
Not that he needs that, but I want to be able to prep him on your business and what we just went through, and so that way he knows where we're at. Also.
Yep.
He's actually done two or three on the Wednesday group, so he knows the format and stuff like that too. The other quick thing is, can anybody record that? I think I asked him to record it last time, and he had issues with the recording software. So I don't know if you guys, any of you have tape a call. I know, Brian, you might. If anyone could help with the recording. Last time we had Joelle hop on and have him do it, but I didn't know if any of you guys had that. And if you could, that would be awesome. Makes sense.
Good deal. Yeah.
Awesome. You guys rock. You already know that. I hope you have a fantastic week. Go ahead and post your active actions. And send some love to Scott because he's going through hell right now. So if you send him a little note, be like, we're thinking about you, right?
Definitely.
We all support each other, and you know how it feels. So I hope you guys have a fantastic week. Let me know if you need anything, okay?
Thanks, guys.
Bye, guys.